radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant. That's a G, yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Astros were hoping for at least six innings today with a limited bullpen. And down goes Turner on strikes. That is the second time Brown has struck out Justin Turner, his third strikeout of the game. And he slows it up with that breaking ball, and he froze Springer for a back-to-back strikeouts. Now four on the day for Hunter. Got him! What a run Hunter Brown's on. One run allowed in his last five starts over 31 innings. The potential American League Pitcher of the Month in June starts July with six shutout against Toronto.
Hunter Brown's been incredible over the last month. Awesome, even, in the words of Joe George. The last five starts, one earned run in 31 innings. Do a little math, which we're not great at. Someone did it for us. A 0.29 ERA puts him in the same company as Nolan Ryan, J.R. Richard, Jim Deshays. Pitchers with a sub .3 ERA in a five-start span. Hadn't happened since 1986.
Man.
And that's what Hunter Brown's done. He had a 1.16 ERA this past month, the best Astros ERA since Daryl Kyle in 1993. Opponents are hitting 188 against him his past 11 appearances. So a 1.99 ERA going all the way back to May 5th. Only one other pitcher is in the same conversation as him, Garrett Crochet. His ERA has dropped from 9.78 to 4.07. It's been incredible. That two-seam fastball is effing people up. And yet, there's a part of me in my brain, I don't know if it's the contrarian or the skeptic or what, Joe, but there's a part of me that's just looking at it and wondering if this is all real, if this is a dream, if this is just a byproduct of eating up on the Angels and the Tigers and all the other scrub teams that he went up against, the White Sox, Rockies, and Blue Jays. That's why he has been as good as he's been.
Yeah, I sense, Paul, it's more skeptic, I would say, from you. Because we kind of had this conversation a little bit yesterday. We're talking about, like, big picture about the Astros and their recent stretch of what is sustainable versus what is not. And I'm a little more, I don't know, unrealistic sometimes, I would say, with expectations in sports. But Hunter Brown can be, he could be probably like a 3.35 ERA guy consistently going forward. That I do believe. I do believe he can be a middle of the rotation guy that can be very good for you and sometimes great for you. And we'll have bad starts. They all have bad starts. He's not this guy. No one's this guy.
Yeah.
No one's this guy. Like, if this is what you think he is, you're good for you. I wonder what other expectations you have in your life if you think that this is who Hunter Brown is going to be. Even putting him in a conversation of top rotation or top arm in baseball right now is too much.
Do you want a little something? Sean, this is in the show rundown, but I put up a segment on our At ESPN Houston YouTube channel right after the Astros took down the Blue Jays 3-1 yesterday on Canada Day. I'm talking about Hunter Brown's performance. It was Jeremy Branham. It was Joel Blank. Mm. Does this take belong on Bad Take Boulevard?
I mean, Hunter Brown and Ronel Blanco, I'm not going to say it's the best 1-2 in all of baseball. I'd have to go do a little digging, and I probably don't believe it's the best 1-2 in all of baseball. But is it a top 5 1-2 in all of baseball?
It's in the conversation. If it's not top 5, it's definitely top 10. But, yeah.
Is that a Bad Take Boulevard conversation, bro? Top 1-2 combination in all of baseball? Top 5 1-2 combination in all of baseball? Ronel Blanco, Hunter Brown.
Yeah, I mean, the last
They month, know baseball. Baseball, to me, I'm just a high school football legend. Baseball confuses me and frightens me.
And the last 5 starts of Hunter Brown, probably, yes, they're top 5. Are they top 10? I would say yes. It's also a third of the league.
No, no. I'm not allowing this.
It's a third of the league.
I'm not allowing this.
Like, if you just go
this off. This is Stockholm Syndrome for the Killer Bees.
I think it's a low bar. Top 10 is not hard to get into, I would
imagine. 10 1-2 combos in all of baseball for pitching?
Based on success this year.
Hunter Brown was so bad in April.
Yeah.
We don't just get to forget about April.
I mean, the number one, let's just go based off ERA. The number one combination in baseball would belong to the Philadelphia Phillies. Ranger Suarez has a 2.27 ERA. Christopher Sanchez, who I don't even really know, has a 2.41 ERA in baseball. The Royals would belong in there. They have two guys in the top 20. The Braves have two guys in the top 20 because Chris Sale turned back the clock this year.
He did?
He's been awesome this year. He's been incredible. He's a below 2.8 ERA. He's been unstoppable at times this season. They're probably top 10. Top 5, no, but also top 10 in the moment. I don't think you can ignore the start of Hunter Brown's season, his first 11 starts. It's 11 starts where he had above a 6.9 ERA.
Nice.
You can't ignore that. So,
top 5, 1-2 combination in all of baseball. Top 10, 1-2 combination in all of baseball.
If it's top 5, so Jeremy makes Bad Take Boulevard because he is top 5. Joel, I'm not so sure about because he said top 10. I think it's probably borderline.
I just think it's really funny that they got to that all of a sudden. And again, hey, of late, Hunter Brown's been awesome. Ronel Blanco, for the most part this year, I mean, he's an all-star. Assuming he gets, you know, the
recognition.
Right. Yeah, Bruce Bochy's got to do him a solid.
Yeah, I mean, Blanco's got the 6th best ERA in baseball, so he has the anchor of the argument is really Blanco. It's not Hunter Brown as much. It is a Blanco argument.
The 30-year-old rookie.
Yeah. But Hunter Brown, if you look at it from a microcosm of just his last 5 starts, then, yeah, it's a top 5 rotation or top 5 1-2 in baseball. But it's also not your 1-2. They're performing like it. Who gets the ball in game 1 of the ALCS this year?
Rafael Montero.
Ronel Blanco.
Someone give me a real answer.
Will Harris.
Unless yours is
Chris DeVincent.
I mean, if we're going off merit,
Chad Qualls.
It probably should be Ronel Blanco.
I agree.
And not several relievers from Astros past. But it...
I was curious how many you were going
to
name.
I'm trying to say, like, how many names can I name that, like, were the most frustrating Astros pitchers ever?
Luke Gregerson. No, it's probably going to be Frommer.
Exactly. Frommer's going to get the ball game 1. Justin's going to get the ball game 2. Blanco game 3.
Oh,
Hunter Brown game 4.
Ugh. You know what, though? Right now, one or the other should be replaced by Ronel Blanco. Verlander or Frommer. And I like that we're talking about playoff matchups already. Hell yeah.
If we're back,
who starts?
If Hunter Brown continues this, then it should go Blanco, Hunter Brown, Verlander, Fromber, unless Luis Garcia passes one of them.
Yeah. Yeah, I was about to ask when Luis Garcia comes into the mix.
I mean, he's going to make his next start. I saw Joe Espada said Luis Garcia will make his next start for Corpus Christi on Thursday. So, you know, not far away.
Okay. Yeah.
I did have a realization yesterday after the show. We did Astros ER. And McCullers didn't get brought up. When's the last time we got a McCullers update?
I saw him pitching in full uniform probably 10 days ago.
On his Instagram?
Yeah.
No one ever actually talks about McCullers, though. It's like they've gone out of sight, out of mind with Lance McCullers, it feels like. Besides what he posts.
Yeah, I was going to say, other than the podcast he did with Will Kunkel.
Yeah. It's just,
like, other than that, he's been laying low.
Like, the media ask all these injury updates, and then no one asks about Lance. Everyone's just kind of giving up on asking about Lance McCullers. Just an observation.
Is he throwing off of flat ground? How flat is the ground? Is it slightly elevated flat ground? Is he throwing at 60 feet? Is he throwing at 90 feet?
Who was it that the update was like, he played catch? There's someone from Verlander. Astros ER. Yeah, that was playing catch. It's like, yeah. Okay, cool.
He threw a baseball.
Cool update.
He had a catch with was it with a child? Was it with a real-life adult?
With his child, maybe?
Ooh.
Like Kevin Costner in Field of Dreams?
Was it with his dad? Was it with a ghost?
Was it with his dad who helped throw the 1919 World Series?
Yeah.
That was him, right?
I think we're getting a little too silly.
Oh, yeah?
I want to talk more about Chad Qualls. Come on. Come on, guys.
What Chad Qualls facts do you have for me?
All I know is there's a really funny Astros Twitter account that's called Better Should Have Used Chad Qualls. That's really all I got. All right. It's Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5. and 925-713-780-3776 to call in and to text in. We didn't get into some Canadian traditions because yesterday the United States took Canada's soul by beating the Canadian national baseball team on Canada Day. And a massive beef going on in Canada, plus the Houston Rockets. What are they doing? Well, they're not going to pay anybody anytime soon. You'll find out why. Stick around. Galan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're back with Galan and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
The Astros ruined Canada Day, which is therefore a great day for the world. Really happy that we got that in there. Small inconveniences drive me crazy. I'm a very petty man. So,
okay.
Yesterday's baseball game, which started while our show was on, starting later, actually should have been, you know, good for me, for you. Mm-hmm. It means that we get to watch the entire thing.
I missed most of the game.
Yeah, you're listening to it on the radio,
I was listening, because it got started so late.
Like a traitor, just giving them ratings, huh? Stockholm Syndrome?
I don't have a Nielsen thing. That's illegal.
It is illegal?
Yeah, we're not allowed to have them.
Don't they pay not much?
It's like $20 a month.
That's it?
I think that's... And I,
to wear a pager? At all times?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, do you. All the fine people that, you know, are earning money however they can. I need the dollars, dollar, daughter. Dollars is what I need. Hey, hey. Yesterday, to see the United States emerge victorious on a field of battle in Canada on Canada Day was nice because they lost in soccer, obviously. And Canada's got some weird traditions. These are things that I learned after yesterday's show. Some of these I already knew. Like, the Queen of England is still technically Canada's head.
Is she on all their money?
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah, they don't have real money.
That's why they're bad at hockey.
Yeah, they can't pay anybody.
Yeah, they can't. Yeah,
they can't pay off the refs like we do.
So Canadians come here to play hockey because it's a better country.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Thanksgiving is in October.
Okay. Well, why?
Similarly to American Thanksgiving, they wanted to celebrate it the same way that we do. They claimed that actually we had the first Thanksgiving in 1557, but in reality, it's the United States that does Thanksgiving right.
They do it on a Monday?
Mm-hmm.
They must not eat as much as we do.
I don't think they take the Friday off after the Thanksgiving Day.
Huh.
So they have 3-day Thanksgiving weekends. And yeah, I'm not assuming they eat as much because, again, you're eating, you know, variants of English cuisine. So it's just beans and spotted dick.
Yeah.
You ever had that before? It's like a custard cupcake thing. Yeah. It's a real thing.
I've had Spotted Cow. Okay. That's a beer.
Oh, yeah. That's a Milwaukee beer.
Yes, it is.
Polar bear swimming. We're going over Canadian traditions. These are now all ours because the Astros beat the Canadian national baseball team on Canada Day. Polar bear swimming. On New Year's Day, you jump into a body of water.
Okay. Do you get anything out of it? Or just because?
It's like a Joe Rogan experience,
it's
right?
Not like what we
it's
do.
Cold plunge.
Like people jump in the... But they do the polar plunge.
Where do they do that?
Everywhere. That's like it's big in Chicago. It's a charity though. Like you raise money and you jump into Lake Michigan when it's freezing cold outside.
Oh, okay.
So it's like you raise the more money you raise, it's like you just like advertise for it.
I mean, you're a tougher person if you do it down here because you're jumping into fecal bacteria water.
Yeah, hard pass.
I don't want soft boy.
Yeah. Huh. Didn't Hugh Jackson jump into do a polar plunge because the
because he's the Browns seeker?
No, because the Browns he said like the Browns won't go 0-16 and then they went 0-16. Or he said if they go 0-16, I'll jump in Lake whatever. And then yeah, he had to jump in that.
And that guy had an army of media supporting his losing ass. And I mean, he said all the right things, but supposedly during Hard Knocks, he was constantly watching Hard Knocks and saying, look how they're portraying us. Isn't this great?
So he was like watching it like the...
Oh, yeah.
I don't like watching our YouTube clips back. I couldn't, or listening to myself on the radio, I could not imagine watching myself on a show like Hard Knocks.
I watched Hard Knocks entirely to see if I made it in 2015.
Oh, really?
And I did.
Oh, you did?
Nice. You can see half of my face at a certain point.
Was it the good half? I don't know if you feel like
I was wearing a hat. I was kind of mad. I was like, well, I should have dolled up a little bit more. It was outside, you know. I wasn't bitching about air conditioning like old John McClane. More Canadian customs that are now American because the Astros beat the Toronto Blue Jays on Canada Day. Poutine, ours. We should just claim we invented it. Who would actually believe that?
That's fine.
Canadians invented fries with cheese curds and
gravy. It's delicious.
You've had it before?
I have.
The cheese curds is where I draw the line.
Well, yeah, because you hate cheese.
Yeah, I can't do that. Have you ever had a Bloody Caesar? It's essentially a Bloody Mary. If you ever fly Air Canada, they will give you this. It's actually pretty good. It tastes very similar to a Bloody Mary. The only difference is there's clam juice in it.
Yeah, that's what threw me off,
so it's
though.
Like Clamato. It's still red.
Yeah.
It's just not... there's tomato juice, vodka, Tabasco, Worcester sauce, spices, and clam juice.
Can you taste the clam juice?
A little bit.
And I like seafood, but I'll try it. I'll try it.
It's not that different from a Bloody Mary. Bloody Marys, okay. I mean, this is what the Canadians do to shake their hangovers off, I'm sure. They love Tim Horton's coffee. That's ours now. They always take off their shoes when they go inside. Oh, appropriating Japanese culture.
Yeah. I was going to say, I don't think that's a Canadian thing. I think that's a thing Canada does, as well as, yes, the Japanese. Shout out to Shogun.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to Tokyo Vice. Canadians always hold the door, even if you are as far as 25 meters away, and you're expected to move to said door faster to show appreciation. If you don't, you have to apologize.
25 meters seems far.
How far is 25 meters?
It's 25 yards, essentially. Give or take.
Give or take, like a little bit or a lot of it.
I think meter to yard is pretty close.
82 feet.
That's not close.
So it's a little more.
82 feet? I'm not holding a door for 82 feet.
82 Why not? Feet.
I don't hold the door for... See, okay, I actually don't like to be on the opposite end of that. If I'm too far away and you're holding the door for me, I don't like feeling like I have to then hustle to the door.
Yes.
It's annoying. Someone did that to me the other day, except I'm dragging a three-year-old trying to get him to walk through a parking lot, and they're holding the door for us. I'm like, dude, just go.
Yeah.
I got a kid with me. I'm not picking him up to run to you.
Can you, like, wave him off? I've never actually done that where I've just, like...
Wave off a door hold?
Yeah, just forget it, like, man. Dude, like, if I was in that situation... Because normally I can just hustle. Yeah, I'm an able-bodied human being. I can just... do the fake hustle jog where you're still going as fast as walking, but you're moving your shoulders, so it looks like you're jogging. But if I was inconvenienced with something, I think I would just give the just clear out. Doesn't matter.
Because I think you're being inconsiderate when you do that, like trying to hold the door for someone that's far away.
It's a look at me selfless move.
Yeah,
where it's like I want to do the polite thing, but I'm taking it to the extreme.
Yes,
so everyone knows I'm polite,
and therefore it's very Canadian.
Yes.
It is very Canadian.
Canadians are fake nice. They're fake polite. They're very apologetic. You apologize all the time, you can get away with a lot. Didn't think about that, did you?
I don't know a lot of Canadians. Now that I think about it.
Like in your everyday life?
Yeah. I'm not sure I've ever met a Canadian before.
No. I think you've met one, just hiding in plain sight. They might be... in school with your son right now.
There was 200 people at my wedding. Don't think any of them were Canadian.
Oh, that'd be great. Over under half a Canadian at your wedding.
I'm gonna go under. I'm gonna take the under.
I bet it was over.
Yeah,
Canadians.
They're hidden among Canadians.
They're among us, just like replicants. It's Galan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So these are some weird Canadian traditions I learned because yesterday was Canada Day. Apparently. We also had Canada rap beef.
We did?
Let's be honest. Bringing Americans into a world of violence. I don't know how many people knew about Rick Ross, who was at musical festival in British Columbia called the Ignite Music Festival. And he played Kendrick Lamar's Not Like Us, which is the diss track that he had against Drake, while closing out his set. As he walked off the stage, his crew got surrounded by a human wall And one of his security guards got his ass kicked. Mm. Just got the absolute bejesus beaten out of him.
It's not good, Paul.
It's not good, but what was good was 50 Cent, Houston's own, just like Drake, 50 Cent, and Drake.
I don't want to claim Drake.
I'm okay with claiming Drake.
He's Canadian.
Yeah, but we beat the Astros, beat Toronto, a.k.a. the Canadian national team, on Canada Day. So Drake is officially ours now.
Do we want him?
Here's 50 Cent weighing in on the Rick Ross fight.
Definitely buying low.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, guys. You know, I just saw a very unfortunate situation that took place in Canada. And I wanted to say to everyone, you know, that I hope that that brother made it home safely. I hope that he now has a different perspective and a better sense of what to do and what not to do while you're out in the world, you know? That part where the young guy went like, he did this little move and got knocked the out, like right there. That does not reflect him. That reflects his camp. And he might need to go get the Dream Chasers or the 305 Killers.
He's a elite troll. Fun times with 50 Cent.
I love it. The best one is when he challenged Floyd Mayweather to read a book. That's the one. It's so good.
I think about it all the time. I challenge you to
read one page of a Harry Potter book. Word we can't say.
I'm against you, Paul.
Drake?
I don't want Drake. He already ruined our beloved Cougs. They gave him a jersey. What happened? They lost.
That's not his fault Jamal Shai got hurt.
Drake is a curse.
Should have let Larry and Stafford play that game.
Kentucky. Forgot about that. Kentucky, whatever bandwagon Drake wants to get on, he ruins.
He bet on the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah.
The Stanley Cup.
Well, listen, Drake had a Happy Canada Day message yesterday, and some are interpreting this as a shot at Rick Ross because Drake's apparently a genius, and he's Houston's own.
Happy Canada Day. See, I'm rapping still. Happy Canada Day to everybody. Cheers, man. Cheers to the whole country. Our day today. Sun's out. Enjoy it. Enjoy it.
Some people believe that he was chuckling because saying Happy Canada Day when Rick Ross, who was in Canada, getting beaten up by Drake Stooges on Canada Day. That's why he's saying Happy Canada Day to everybody.
What's your first memory of Drake?
The Sprite commercial.
Mine was when he got shot in the back.
Wait, what? On Degrassi. Okay. I thought for a second, I was like, wait, does Drake actually have street cred?
No.
Child actor.
That's still like what maybe that's why I'm not a big Drake guy, but like I still just see Degrassi when I look at Drake. I can't get over it.
I more think about him as a Transformer / Sprite bottle. That's what I think of him as. Last name ever. First name greatest. It is Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. The latest for the Houston Rockets and a deep steel blue pill to get you going, to keep your afternoon awake as we get closer and closer to the 4th of July. Gallant and George, stick around.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
Still waiting to see if it's official that Hunter Brown is the American League Pitcher of the Month for June. That's supposed to be announced at some point this afternoon. Tuesdays is when they give that out, the first Tuesday of every month. We'll see. Honestly, the more we wait, the more nervous I get.
Oh, really?
I mean, not really, but I would like Hunter Brown to be rewarded for what has been an awesome month, a month that I have a hard time believing will continue. But hey, the last 2 months, he has been awesome, and the numbers just defy logic, given where he was in April.
I would be stunned if he's not the pitcher of the month for June. I don't even need to look to see what other people did. Like, I know Crochet's been awesome still, but it don't matter. Number one, Hunter Brown, in our hearts and our minds.
Greg Kessinger's back with the team, by the way.
He is. God. Cooper Hummel, gone.
Cooper Hummel down. We did see Greg Kessinger make an error. The Sugarland Space Cowboys game that we went to last week. But you know what?
That.
Everyone makes mistakes. Like the Astros did with Jose Abreu for a very, very long time.
Hey, but you know what? You can also fix your mistakes.
You can.
Like the Astros have done. And turn their season around.
That's true. Also, as far as mistakes, I guess the Rockets think it would be a mistake at this point to give a max contract to either Jalen Green or Alperen Şengün. Kelly Eco reported, at this stage, it's unlikely either Şengün or Green receive max rookie extensions. Both are eligible for a five-year deal worth up to $224.2 million. Houston has had conversations with both camps concerning an extension. We'll continue dialogue during the offseason, but the chances of either player, Green or Şengün, getting a deal like Cade Cunningham, who got $236 million, or Scotty Barnes, who could potentially get up to $270 million, a deal like that, the chances are slim.
I mean,
makes sense.
It makes a ton of sense because the way the season ended with Şengün off the court and how well Green played, how bad Green was when Şengün was awesome when they were together, there's still more questions than there is answers about who the Rockets are. You mentioned this yesterday, Paul, and I think you're spot on about the Rockets have done the right thing in free agency by not going out and spending a ton of money, not getting Paul George, not getting Klay Thompson, not getting one of those big max guys, and this is the right path to take, and I think that continues now with the extension stuff. There's no reason to give them an extension right now. It's the same extension next year. So just hold off. You got 82 games to figure out what's the best for the Rockets' future. You don't need to do it right now.
And there's also the element of because Şengün was a lower pick, his cap hold for next offseason will be lower if they play it all the way out until next year. And so they'll have a little bit more cap. It's less true with Jalen Green just because he was the number two pick as opposed to number like 18 or whatever Şengün was. And so the Rockets can have a little bit more cap space by just letting it play out until next offseason. And they'll both still be restricted free agents next offseason. So like they can just sign whatever deal they want. It's if you want to know what it looks like they're doing, it seems to be that they're doing what the Philadelphia 76ers did this past offseason with Tyrese Maxey, where they could have paid Tyrese Maxey last year. They just would not have had the cap room to add Paul George into cap space that they did. So they're able to sign Paul George and then sign Tyrese Maxey. As if you did the other way around, you wouldn't have enough money for George.
Yeah, so because with the new aprons and all these things, it's super complicated. I keep listening to these podcasts and radio shows that are trying to explain it, but essentially when you spend too much money now, it's a hard cap in the NBA, and the only way to trade said players is a dollar-for-dollar transaction. So at this point, the Philadelphia 76ers getting off the Paul George contract is going to be a daunting task if they want to do that. So yeah, that's what it's like the Devin Booker deal. If the Devin Booker deal is going to happen next offseason with these Phoenix picks, you would acquire Devin Booker first, pay him, and then pay Şengün.
Well, it's more of a free agency thing. Yeah. It's more of if you – because Fred VanVleet team option for 2025, 2026. So if you decline that, that's $40 million coming off the books, and then you'll have the lower cap hold for Şengün. Mm-hmm. And so you'll open up some space to where you can sign if whoever's the free agent next year. Basically, next year's Donovan Mitchell, or next year's Paul George, or next year's Jimmy Butler, which I actually think it is Jimmy Butler. But I haven't looked ahead at who's going to be a free agent next offseason. One offseason at a time is what I always say.
You gotta take it a day at a time.
Yes. On best today, day of your life.
The greatest day of all.
Because it's the day
lives
after Canada Day.
It is the day after Canada Day. Texas has annexed Canada thanks to the Astros' victory over Canada. That means more oil for us. I'm going to get some oil in your system right now. It's time for a Deep Steel Blue Pill, baby.
Little blue pills can take 30 minutes to get you ready for excitement.
So that's why we're giving you a big, deep, steel blue pill.
You take the blue pill, believe whatever you want.
Get it up for the Texans and take this deep, steel blue pill.
And by the way, she'll like it too.
Texans swarm!
So Mina Kimes keeps on having on. Yes.
Content machine.
Who kissed the ass of the Houston Texans. And I gotta say, it's making me a little uncomfortable, but I still enjoy it. So Ryan Clark, former Steelers safety, joined Mina for a series called Power Hour. She has people help her rank teams in the NFL. She gives two teams, and the guest has to pick who they would rank first and why. The matchup that Mina Kimes gave to Ryan Clark was Ravens against Texans. And Ryan Clark, despite recent history, for some reason, picked the Texans.
I did an NFL Live, not NFL Live, a SportsCenter top three biggest AFC threats to the Kansas City Chiefs. And at number one, I had the Houston Texans.
At one. Wow. So are you going to pick them over the Ravens here?
Yes, I am. Woo! I am picking the Houston Texans over the Ravens.
So picking the Texans over the Ravens.
I can't do it. I'm not there yet.
It's insane to pick the Texans over the Ravens, considering how one-sided both of those games were last year. There was one half, the first half of the playoff game, where the Texans were hanging on for dear life. And it was entirely because their defense actually had a good plan to frustrate Lamar Jackson. Offensively, they did not move the ball week one. They did not move the ball the last week of the year. I understand that there were some injuries and stuff. Ryan might be guilty of being an ex-Steeler here.
It's the Lamar playoff stuff. I know they beat the Texans, but the failures of the Ravens and Lamar Jackson against the elite teams in the playoffs, I think, always gets people a negative view of this team. I was a negative view of Lamar Jackson and the Ravens for a while. I feel like it's gotten so out of control now. I feel like pro Baltimore Ravens all of a sudden. But you lose Patrick Queen, but you still beat the Texans twice last year. So, like, call me on December 25th. Call me on Christmas when the Texans win against the Ravens at home and have secured, like, the number two spot in the AFC by winning that game. Then I'm with you. Until then, the Ravens are daddy. Fact.
If it was just the week one game, you could, and they just didn't play in the playoffs, Texans lost to someone else in the playoffs, you could, like, hand wave it as, like, well, come on. First game, new coach, new offensive coordinator, new quarterback, new everything. Week one, you could kind of throw out that game. But then when they play the last game that we've seen the Texans play, and it especially they get kind of choked out like an anaconda just the entire game, you're like, wow, this really is not, nope, it's only getting worse, nope, can they wiggle their way, nope, they cannot wiggle their way out of this one. And yeah, that's what makes it hard to pick them head to head.
I want to believe Clark here, but more rationale for Clark in this head to head between Ravens and Texans from a power rankings perspective. He starts off by talking about the Texans' defense.
Amari Lassiter from Georgia. You add Okuda at another spot in the corner to pair with Derek Stingley, who we watched start to become that ball-hawking corner that you expected. And this defense started to play well toward the end of the season. And to me, Mina, Jalen Petrie wasn't the player last year that he was the year before. Right, the year before, he played at an all-pro level. So if he can get his play back to that line we saw his rookie year, Christian Harris seems to be emerging as a superstar at the linebacker position. But now you add Autry. Now you add Danielle Hunter, right, to the other side of Will Anderson Jr. And I think defense now.
It's all about the delivery. Had he started off talking about Derek Stingley or Will Anderson or Danielle Hunter or Danico Autry or Azeez Al-Shaair, okay, he would have been able to Pied Piper me back into Texans dreamland. The problem is you started off with Kamari Lassiter and Jeffrey Okuda.
Yes.
And talked about Jalen Petrie for probably a little bit too much.
Yeah, it's as soon as, like, you can sell me on Lassiter. You can sell me on the hype, the rookie impact player, not a top 10 guy right away, but like, Nick Caserio crushes the draft once again. But you mentioned Okuda, and I'm out. Like, I struggle with it because he hasn't been good in the NFL. It's past history. Why does no one bring up CJ Henderson when they have these conversations?
I know.
A top 10 pick in the exact same draft. Mm-hmm. But he's never mentioned in the way that Okuda is. It makes no sense because you have nothing to base the Okuda argument on. Is the defense improved? Absolutely.
Clark eventually got to the main reason that everyone's into the Houston Texans, which is their offense. Well, he was on the Mina Kimes show featuring Lenny.
We just talked about the defense. I just talked about the defense for 2 minutes, and we didn't even get to the fact that they added Joe Mixon. We didn't get to the fact that they added Stephon Diggs, right? You and I were marveling at what this team was able to do against the Cleveland Browns in the first round of the playoffs last year. Now you have more weapons. How are you going to match up with this team with a quarterback that seems to have everything you need to be a franchise guy for the next decade and a half? So for me, they are actually over the Ravens.
I love all this Houston Texans hype. Truly, I do. There's so much of it, though. It is hard to feel comfortable. I'm someone who does not take compliments well. And these are too many compliments for my liking.
Well, so this is where I do agree. The offense with the additions that they have, I think we're overlooking a lot of times when you talk about the Texans' season last year, what they were with and without Tank Dell. But so you have Tank Dell back, you have Diggs, you have Mixon. Schultz is there, obviously. Another year of Bobby Sloak, who's hopefully a little bit more intelligent in short yardage and red zone plays when he's calling them. That's where I do believe. Like if the Texans have the hopes, the dreams, the hype, all of it, it's all about CJ and the offense. Like that I can buy into. It's when you try to sell me on Okuda and Ward and Petrie and Lassiter, then I'm like, not so sure.
Same bait. Same boat. What's same bait? What does that mean?
Is that all a Canadian word?
Yeah, I've got Canada on the brain. Do they pronounce their O's, A's? Perhaps. They do say A a lot. All right. We're going to wrap up this radio show of ours with a little garbage time next. Who would have thought that Draymond Green wasn't necessarily the most annoying Golden State Warrior over this past season? That and more in garbage time. Stick around.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Paul and Joe inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Last chance to dance, Gallant and George on a Tuesday. Spencer Arrighetti on the hill for the Astros tonight against the Toronto Blue Jays. Arrighetti coming off of 10 Ks and 7 innings pitched against Colorado. It really is baffling, in a good way, how this rotation, which is stretched so thin, keeps delivering impressive performances, probably partly due to the easy schedule the Astros have been going up against of late. But they did sweep the Orioles the weekend before this past one. They did take 2 or 3 from the Mets. We'll see what Arrighetti's able to do tonight.
Yeah, I think that's why there is the pessimism amongst this Astros run, is because while it's been incredible what the rotation's done and what the bullpen's been doing, they're just being stretched so thin.
They are. I still think the pessimism's few and far between, though. I don't sense as much skepticism as much as I sense, oh, yeah, they're doing what they're supposed to.
Yeah. That's
finally.
It's funny. Johnny Cueto opted out of his minor league deal with the Rangers.
Astros?
Yes. Yes. Have him be your fifth starter until Luis Garcia is ready. And Justin Verlander, because who knows with JV's coming back.
It really does seem like it's going to be a while before they get that next reinforcement. I mean, are we talking 3 weeks? Probably. we're talking after the All-Star break, definitely for Garcia or Lance McCullers. For Verlander, I am not assuming that is in the next 2 weeks.
Mentally, I'm just myself, I'm thinking All-Star break just to get like the week off. Like that extra week is going to buy – it's like 4 days too. It's not even a full week. But having that little bit of extra time, surely one of them will be ready by then.
You'd think.
Luis Garcia probably, I would say.
And he is a doctor, Joe George.
It'd be nice if he'd be back by like the Oakland series after the All-Star break.
We hope.
Which is like July 22nd. Oof. I doubt he's there. He's probably the first week of August.
Yeah, really the only thing that is going to change that is if Dana Brown does a trade deadline move now. Mm-hmm. He's probably going to have to be willing to spend a little bit more if you're going to make a deal right now. You wait till the deadline, the last minute, to get the absolute best possible value that you can. All right, a little garbage time to kick things down. I don't know.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
Kick him down, Paulie.
Yeah, that was garbage. Speaking of kicking down, talking about Jamarcus Russell at this phase of his life is probably kicking down. Jamarcus Russell was fired as a volunteer assistant coach at his alma mater. He's facing a lawsuit accusing him of taking a $74,000 check. Getting fired as a volunteer assistant coach at your alma mater when you're a college legend and definitely a high school legend. That's hard to do. I feel bad for Jamarcus Russell feeling that he needed to steal this money. But at the same time, this is a guy who made tons of money on his first contract.
Yeah, $36 million for four starts.
Which was totally undeserved.
Yeah, he apparently took the $74,000 check, deposited it, and then immediately took out $55,000 in cash.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. It's not going to go well. And then they told him not to come to the school. He showed up.
Oh, no.
And they had to tell him to leave.
So they made it awkward for him. They don't even want to probably punish him, even though he just stole $74,000 in donations from them.
Yeah.
Klay Thompson. Some would argue he was stealing money from the Warriors for some of last season. Not at the end. He got it back on track at the very end of the year. But for a Warriors reporter, Klay Thompson behind the scenes has been equally exhausting as Draymond Green. Quote, Klay has been equally as exhausting behind the scenes. It's not as loud because no one's stomping on someone's chest. If he's slamming stuff on the bench and sulking and doing that on the court, how do you think it is in practice? How do you think it is in the locker room? It has been uncomfortable. It has. It just doesn't come out as loudly as Draymond Green. Do you buy that?
So he's pouting?
Mm-hmm.
I guess. I think I buy it.
He seems like he's such a I don't care about anything. I'm so cool. I'm so mellow kind of guy.
That's what's hard to get a read on.
Yeah. Because that's what I know he wants us to believe is that he marches to the beat of his own drum, that he's different. You know, he's not like your traditional NBA stars. But it sounds on brand with that.
I can see how the brand of being upset, if the brand is Draymond Green, where it's like, yeah, this is just kind of how he always is. It's like, okay, I can work around this. But when it's like, I imagine it sounds like kind of passive aggressiveness from Klay Thompson. That's where I'm like, okay, I can see how people would be like, God, Klay's just kind of a bummer to be around.
Yeah, it definitely feels that once they paid Draymond, things got sour pretty quickly.
They also paid Jordan Poole.
That's true. That's true. They did pay Jordan
Poole. Once they paid Jordan Poole, then Draymond was upset, and then he punched him in the face. They paid Draymond. Now Klay's upset.
To wrap up garbage time, the ESPN television in our studio has been just beating to death the Bronny James introductory press conference. The guy was the 55th pick in the draft. I get it. He's LeBron's son. Are people really that interested in this story? I mean, it's a cute human interest story if you're a sports casual, but it's also a move that was 100% done because the Lakers wanted LeBron to stick around for a little bit longer.
I mean, Sam Vecenie, the draft analyst.
Vecenie.
He said that every time he was forced to write a Brody article, he didn't want to write it, but he would do it, and he would get major clicks. So admit, I think this is our life now, Paul.
Doing it for the ratings.
I think that Bronny and the Lakers is about to become part of the conversation.
Well, if the Astros lose tomorrow, we're going to lead off talking about Bronny James. We will break down every single second of that press conference. It's Lakers Radio.
Okay,
Lakers
so,
Live, home of the Lakers.
We're out Thursday and Friday this week, just a heads up to the audience.
Oh, boy. They might be stuck with that.
If the Astros lose tonight,
programming.
I'm out tomorrow, too, then.
Whoa, don't do that to me, bro.
I'm just kidding, Paul.
Oh, I'm not on one day's notice. Come on, now.
Paul called me the B-word last night. I won't even admit to it.
What did I say? I wrote it. It doesn't count. I called him a bitch. But I love him. It was like a playful bitch. It's like bats.
There was like 100 T's. So, yes.
Yeah, it was fun. And today's been fun, hasn't it?
It's been a great show today.
Happy day after Canada Day to one and all. Big thanks to Sean Mapes behind the glass, to Joe George. I'm merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful Tuesday. The Killer Bees are up next. Peace!
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.